Well, good evening.
Evening.
Good to see all of you. Glad you're back. Amen. I trust this week's been a week of challenge and stirring, that our homes are stronger, and it seems appropriate our next step here tonight. The title is actually a question. The question is, how much do you love Jesus? So open your Bible, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Appreciate you standing for the honor of God's holy word. We hold in our hands a perfect book.
Amen.
There are no mistakes in it, no, not one.
Right.
It's been eternally preserved, and we have the very word of God. Amen. I want to thank everyone for the food and the fellowship. It's been great. Good place to hook up, even when there's a hurricane coming through last night. There's rocking the boat, but we had two sides protected, so it really wasn't that bad. It did catch my attention about two times, though, but if you've ever been in a camper in a storm, sometimes it's challenging. All right, so every hour tonight, let's just enjoy the Lord tonight, amen. That's where we're at. Okay, now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, or Deuteronomy 6, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Time out just a second. I know America has some pretty serious issues, but we're still a land of milk and honey. And I'm not doing replacement theology because I don't believe that, okay? And I realize Israel's Israel and America's America, but we're still a very blessed nation. Thank the Lord for that, huh? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware. There it is. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Let's pray right there. Father, we're delighted to be among you, your people tonight in your house. Lord, I've enjoyed the family conference thus far this week, and thank you for how you've worked in my heart as well. And now tonight, Lord, what holds it all together is obviously our love for you, and I pray you draw us closer to you, and we'd be honest with this. And Lord, you again work in areas that need to work, and firm up areas that are good already. And Lord, we're just crying out to you to help us, bless us tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to take a look at the love of the children of Israel that they had for God, and challenge our love for God tonight. Folks, any relationship takes work. A healthy marriage takes work. It doesn't just automatically happen. Our fellowship with God takes work, not our relationship. See, all the saving and the keeping us saved, that's on God. But our fellowship to keep us sweet, that takes work. Realize that your home will never work right if you say, well, I know what the Bible says, but. I was counseling a family and the wife said that. Well, I know what the Bible says, but. Stop right there. It's not going to work out until you do what you know the Bible says. Amen. Amen. Remember, our priorities is God first. Our spouse is second. Have you ever heard of the example of the triangle? You know, the point at the top where the Lord is, and we're over here, and the wife's over here, and as we grow closer to God, we go up the triangle, we get closer to one another. That's just kind of a cool example, but there is a lot of truth in that, amen? And just so you know tonight, this is kind of a pet peeve because it's so unscriptural. I'm not after some resolution tonight to do better or be better or try harder. Folks, that's not Christianity. I might call that bootstrap Christianity, but that doesn't work in the real world. It's Him working through us that produces that fruit. It's not me trying harder or being better. So I'm not after that tonight. In fact, I'll just go ahead and tell you what I'm after. I'm after a full surrender. Here's an old-time word, a full consecration. It's, Lord, I love you with all of my heart. And those statements being backed up with a life of obedience to God's word. Tonight is a challenge for us to examine our love for God. And I believe wholeheartedly that everyone here loves the Lord. If I were to ask how many love the Lord, everybody's going to raise their hand, and I'd be shocked if somebody didn't. So I don't have any negative feelings toward anybody. It's like, boy, they don't love God. I don't think that at all. But I know in my life, there's room for my love for God to grow. Amen. How about you? Amen. Amen? All right, then we're going to get along with this. See, I believe everyone here does love the Lord. I hear you men pray and your care for souls, the good music, the good standards. I believe that. But let's allow the Lord. Remember the 18 inches we talked about the other night? Let's ask Him to go ahead and slide us on over where we're right there with Him. Amen? Salvation, by the way, I'm just trying to get through the introduction. Just thinking of this. Salvation is a relationship. It is not some dead religion. It is not a list of do's and don'ts. Where you have this big ball on a chain that's strapped on your leg and you're dragging on going, I am a Christian. I'm so miserable. You want to be one too? It's not about that. The standards aren't the standard. The Word of God is the standard. But it's out of my relationship and my fellowship with the Lord comes the practical standards. That's not a ball and chain. That's a delight. Amen. Yeah, amen. It all needs worked on. Husbands and wives, I trust you've been working on your relationships this week. I trust you've had some talks. I trust you've had some good times together. And I don't know why it's worked out like this, but I've kind of had you meter where your relationship was, like zero. You might still be married, but you're headed for divorce to woohoo, heaven on earth kind of thing on number 10. And I'm hoping that since we've had a few days that you're moving the right direction. And then we had you put on the scale your communication. So hopefully you're moving the right direction on your communication. And that's going to help your marriage move in the right direction. Amen. I heard somebody mention about hugging and helping their blood pressure or something this week. But amen. So tonight we want to put it on the scale again, but this time our love for God. Zero is you could care less. In fact, if you're there, you probably need to get saved. Okay. Or 10. Man. You just couldn't love him more. Where are you at? 3.5? 4.75? 5.625? 6.375? I already told you why I use fractions, right? Because they're fun. So as we look at where we're at, I can honestly say there's room for me to grow closer to the Lord in my love for him. So join me as we look at this Old Testament narrative that's actually woven through the book of Deuteronomy. So keep your Bibles out tonight about loving God. And really, I'm pretty excited how this parallels to the home. It's amazing. Watch, you see what I mean. Here we go. Number uno. That's one for English speakers, okay? Number one, God's command to love. In verse 6, look at it. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." And you know what amazes me? Is why did God even have to command us to love him? I mean, after all that he's done for us, you would think that would be a natural response. But nonetheless, he tells us to love him with all the heart and the soul and the mind. Love is to have an affection for God. We've seen different verses. In fact, it's in the scripture. I'm not going to take time to go to all of them right now, but we're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. You're probably thinking those verses as well right now. So we can summarize it and be biblically correct. We're to love God with all. Yeah, absolutely. So we're commanded to love God with everything. And God has also set some requirements. It's not just some kind of an emotional love. Emotions are involved. There's no doubt about that. But there needs to be substance behind our love for God. And the scripture calls that obedience, because love is action and love is obeying the Lord. That's how our love is measured. So please know that our love for God is realized by our obedience to his word. You cannot untie that. The word of God has tied those two together for all of eternity. So secondly tonight, here's God's requirement for his people. Now hold your mark in chapter 6, because we're going to come back to it a few times. But go ahead and turn over a few pages now to chapter 10. God has a requirement for his people. Chapter 10. The Lord gave me this one of the times reading through my Bible. I thought, wow, this is powerful. Verse 12. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" See, here's the requirement. "But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul." Verse 13, "to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day." Say it with me, church, the last phrase here, ready? "For thy good." Isn't that a blessing? God didn't just give us a bunch of commands to be a pain in our neck. He gave us the commands for thy good, for our good. God's not trying to be a stick in the mud or rain on anybody's parade, but him being omniscient, knowing everything, he knows what's best for us. Right. How many believe that God's smarter than you are? Amen. Yeah, amen. We can trust him with these kinds of things. Amen. And just like when our parents, oh, hey, kids, raise your hand. Hello? Okay. See, all week you've had stuff, okay? Listen to me. Just like your parents, they have some rules in your house, and daddy ought to have some house rules, and we all ought to obey those. Amen? So here's the thing. He didn't just come up with those rules to be a pain in your neck. And when they're little kids, they might not realize this as much, but when they get up to be 15, which one of you guys are 15? Two of you? All right. Then they start thinking, that rule's kind of stupid. That rule's inconvenient. His dad doesn't make him do that. You know the routine. Well, they're there for your protection because he loves you and he knows what's best for you. And there's true, I may have different house rules and Brother Scott might have different house rules, but we both have house rules because we know in our family what might be the areas of temptation or the danger areas. And yeah, our standards there will be higher maybe than in some other areas. And I know my background, so I know where we need to have a real high fence to keep us safe, to protect my children. Amen? So it's out of love. So folks, God doesn't have just a bunch of rules. It's not about that. Again, it's about our sweet fellowship with the Lord. So we're to fear the Lord. See, there were some things that I did because I feared my dad. When I got out of school, it was 3 o'clock. I could be home by 3:15. He worked about maybe 5 minutes from the house. If he's in any hurry, he can make it in 3. Okay, and he's a mechanic. And anyway, he would say in the morning before we'll go to school and he'd go to work, have the yard mowed before I get home. Now, folks, that meant have the yard mowed before he got home. That meant I had from 3:15 till 5 o'clock to get that yard mowed. Now, when he left that morning, he didn't say, "Hey, Terry, you got anything going this afternoon? You mind mowing the yard?" He didn't say that. He didn't say, "Hey, Terry, how are you feeling today? You feel up the morning?" He didn't ask me how I was feeling. He didn't send this thing out to Congress and debate it for 6 months whether or not I was going to mow the yard. He just said, "Have the yard mowed when I get home." So guess what? I had the yard mowed when he got home. I'm still here, right? Amen. So there were some things I did because I feared him. See, we're to fear God because there is a coming judgment day, friend. And we will give an account of all that we've done, whether it's good or bad, that we've done in this body. We're to walk in his ways and do things God's ways, to play by his rules. And we're to love him. And there's some things I did because I love my dad. And I want him to be proud of me. And the Bible talks about how that the Lord's love constrains us. And I'll just share just a little bit of personal testimony here. And I don't like talking a whole bunch about my past because I don't like giving the devil any glory. Amen. God saved me out of that. Hallelujah. Right, but I was involved in the wrong kinds of music back then. And when I got saved, it was about a 2-year battle to get off of some of that music. It wasn't a click and everything's cool. But you know what actually got me off of rock music? I'll go ahead and tell you, it was my love for Jesus. In fact, I started getting off from it because I knew he didn't like it and I hadn't heard anybody really preach on it that I can remember. I've been saved maybe a week, 2 weeks. One of my buddies came up, just had a new speaker system put in his car with an EQ throwing 125 watts to every speaker. And there's 4 of them in there. So there's a friend of mine was over, we're sitting in the back, him and his buddy sitting in the front, and we're like, you know, the whole block heard it, you know what I'm saying? And I'm back there, and I could hear the Lord through all that going, "What are you doing?" And for the first time in my life, I thought, "What am I doing? Do you hear what he's saying? I'm not going to give you the lyrics because you might know the song." And I was like, "I don't have any business with that. That's horrible." God began to work on my heart. So I went from acid rock, because the harder the better is the way I liked it, to CCM. You know why? It's the same backbeat. I can spot that thing a mile away. So I realized that wasn't necessarily looking at the lifestyles, and then it got into Southern Gospel. And the Lord wasn't happy with me there either. And I'm not saying all Southern Gospel's wrong, so don't leave here and misquote me. But if your group's in the top 10, they had to compromise their socks to get there, just so you know. And personally, I don't care for that sound. You know why? Because I hear that same beat behind it. If you know anything about music at all, you'll hear it picked that up. It's there. Not all of it, but it's there. So the Lord took us from that to sacred. Well, you hear what we sing now. But that wasn't just click. That was a process. But what helped me in making those decisions, quite frankly, was my love for Jesus Christ, because he wasn't pleased at all with what I was listening to. So I ask you tonight, friend, was Jesus pleased with what you're listening to? And if you don't have any other reason than he don't like it, you ought to love him enough to get it out of your life. Amen. Yeah, amen. That's what helped me. I'm just being honest with you. You know, we like sacred music, like the old hymns, and I like the old-time gospel music. The gospel music's still good. You know, you can hear the beat in it's fine, and the words are exhorting. And folks, so within the realm of right, there's a lot of room there. But make sure it's right before the Lord. Amen? Amen. See, when we start just going through the motions, that's dangerous. When we start just keeping the standards to make the pastor happy, okay, so yeah, that's kind of a good motive, but it's not one that's going to last forever. So then it becomes methodical and robotical, and your devotions become dry. And you can check the box off and have devotions and never meet with God. That's not what we're talking about tonight. It's my fellowship with the Lord. It should be so personal. It's like, well, if the Lord doesn't like that, then I don't like that. Amen? Amen, folks. So we serve the Lord with all thine heart, with all thy soul. It's like, wow, I get to serve him. Can you imagine that? God lets me serve him. I mean, I get to serve God. I can drive all over the country and preach, and my family gets to sing, and we get to do that? Woo! Why, y'all don't ever get excited about what you get to do? Seen some of you jump. So between the command to love the Lord and his requirements that the Lord has set forth, there's not a whole lot of wiggle room, is there? However, God blesses that kind of obedience. So thirdly, God's blessing for the obedience of his children. God blesses the obedience of his children. We're in chapter 10, right? Keep your thumb in 6, hold your finger in 10, go over to one more page to 11. This is kind of where we're going to bounce around back and forth. But we're in chapter 11 now, verse 13. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass, 11:13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first and latter and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, and I will send grass in thy field for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Wow, that there would be a satisfaction, a peace, a contentment. Time out. The world doesn't have a clue what I just said right there. Because peace and satisfaction and contentment are gifts from God to his children and their families. Oh, folks, you can't put a price on that. Amen. And then he promises that. So we're enjoying that, the peace that comes with it, the satisfaction, the fulfillment. Amen. And with these promised blessings also comes a very, very severe warning. So forth is God's severe warning. Hold your mark right here in chapter 11. We're going to come right back, but flip back over to chapter 6. You got your thumb there. Chapter 6. Look at verse 10. We're going to look at his severe warning. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not. And he said, amen. They probably didn't like digging wells. And vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, when you're satisfied, be careful. Notice verse 12, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Folks, we need to be careful. This is typology here. When God saves us, it's like when he delivered the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt in the world. He delivered them out. When we get saved, hallelujah, he delivers us out of the world. He delivers us from the power of sin. He sets us free from the penalty of sin. Man, we are saved, hallelujah. And when things start going well because we're serving him, be careful we don't forget him. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Now, let me explain this. You're probably thinking to yourself, self, I don't think I could ever forget God. And you're probably true meaning it that way. Because even when you're backslidden and you're really not in your Bible like you need to be and whatever else might be in your life, you still know who God is. I mean, at any point I could stop you on the street and say, hey, do you know who God is? You're like, yeah, I know who God is. So what's it mean by forget him? Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Folks, when they forget him, it talks about they're following him. When they begin to change direction, that's forget. Oh, you know who he is. You didn't forget him in your head. But by your action, you have forgotten who it is you follow. That's what that means. That's why this is so serious. We need to be very careful that when things are going good, we not forget God. Things happen, and we start to do it our way. Oh, it's easy to fall when you're on top. It's slippery. Especially the way men are wired, because men are wired like this. I got this. Yeah, I got this. So if it's not much of a problem at all and things are going pretty good, I got this. So the Lord says, okay. And they smack right on your face. Oh, you don't have it, do you? And then I remember the Lord. That was the point of that, amen. Okay, you get that later. When somebody gets saved and they start living for God and God blesses them, when they're just a babe in Christ, boy, they're going to experience this. They're going to think, man, I did this. They didn't do anything. So then they're going to fall, and then they might get discouraged, and they get back up. And anyway, that's when we as a church need to come around. People are just saved and encourage them, folks, because you know how sometimes you got discouraged when you got knocked down. And don't look down some holy nose at them like, oh, you fell. Well, who hasn't fallen since they've been saved? Let's go after them and encourage them. Hey, I've been there. I've done that. Here's what the Lord said. He said in John 1:9, if I confess it, he'd forgive it. Now get up. Let's go. Amen? Amen. Let me explain to you about this forgetting. It's in the next verse, down to verse 16. We're still in 11, right? Yeah, I think we're in 11. No, maybe we're not. I hear pages turning. Anyway, I'm in chapter 11, so y'all want to catch up? Hold your mark in 10 and 6, because we're going to go back again. But I'm in 11, all right? Anyway, chapter 11, verse 16. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. Time out. You know what it means when your heart's deceived? Oh, I'm walking with the Lord. Everything's good. And if that's not true, your heart's deceived. Folks, that's how deceptive sin is. Sin is so deceptive that you could be living in it and you think to yourself, I'm okay. No, you're deceived. And we don't know we're deceived, because if we knew we were deceived, we're not deceived anymore. Yeah. And if we're deceived and don't know it, then we are deceived, because if we didn't know it, we are, and if we did, then we're not. Say that five times real fast, okay? Y'all going where I am with this? This is serious, because we can think everything's all right. Notice the rest of the verse. It says, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside. Change direction. That's what it meant a while ago by they forgot the Lord. They forgot the Lord. They started changing the direction and serve other small g gods with an S. So the Lord's no longer first in your life. It doesn't matter what this little small g god over here is. If it's not Jesus Christ, it's an idol. So you can start, and as you begin to change direction, your heart's deceived because you think, I'm okay. And you're not. That's where we need the Holy Ghost of God to use His Word to turn the light on and show us in our life, oh, I'm not okay. And it's okay, now I understand this. And here's where it's dangerous. These small g gods, and we start to, and it says, and worship them. We start serving them. It says, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and He shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Folks, God wants you to realize that there are very serious consequences for loving other things with the love that only belongs to Him. He doesn't want to share your affection with other small g gods. And we do that when we begin to forget Him. We change direction and in our deception begin to worship these other gods. Whoa. That's offensive to Him. Because our affection, set your affection on things above, that all belongs to the Lord. Let me help you with an example. Let's do the wives first. Wives, hi wives. Let's suppose this is pretend. And when I get done, you're going to say, it better be pretend. Let's pretend that your husband is fond of someone else. Nothing's going on. They're just fond of another woman. Any of you wives okay with that? I don't see any hands. All right, guys, let's turn it around. Husbands, supposing your wife is fond, nothing's, don't even go there, just fond of another man. Any man in here okay with that? I see the man's going like this. Yeah, you know what you keep back there, don't you? Okay, see, yeah. It's not okay with God either. He doesn't want to share our fondness with small g gods, anything before Him. That's why we haven't named them, because it's anything before Him. Wow. That's serious. In fact, this is so important to God that He commands us to pass this commandment, this statute, this principle onto our children and our grandchildren. Here it is. Here's keys on how to run our homes. Number 5 in the outline, but it's God's command to pass it on to our children and great-grandchildren. Hell, amen. Folks, we've already established that our homes are under attack from the outside. The world, the culture is doing its best to destroy the home. Politically, there is an agenda to destroy the home and our churches. I'm not being some conspiratist, I'm just telling you the fact. The enemy's out there. And our enemy, the devil, is doing his best to destroy the homes. And our enemy loves it when he can sneak in the home and fan the selfishness and the pride. Not that he has any. Oh, she said he did. Okay. So we start thinking, I am the man. And I'm right. And as soon as she figures that out, we'll get along fine. Anybody see a problem here besides me? Remember our missionary about the intense fellowship? You want some intense fellowship, you go down that road, Bubba. You deserve that one. But see, we got a verse on our side, because it says in Proverbs 21:2, every way a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. So it's like, I'm right. Not always. And see, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention. That intense fellowship, it's only there because of pride. Yeah, amen. Could it be that you might be deceived today? And maybe your heart's not so okay as you thought it was? Have you been deceived to the point where you've kind of turned away and these other little G gods have kind of caught your affection? Kind of caught your attention? Children, the intense fellowship you have with your brothers and sisters, you know, that comes from pride. Yeah. And they would say, I don't do that. Who, me? Okay, let me ask you this, children. Okay. Why is it some of you have to have the last word? No matter the consequence, even if it's just one word, but that's the last word. By the way, I never won that game with my parents. I tried playing a few times and said it's not worth it. But parents, we have a responsibility here. Did you realize that child discipline isn't for the benefit of you having a good home? It's actually a training process where you're teaching your children to be immediately obedient to you so that when they hear the Spirit of God speak to their heart, they immediately say, yes, Lord. That's why it's so important, parents, that it takes discipline for the mom and dad as well, because you get home, you're tired, and it seems like the kids know when you're tired because they kind of push the envelope. Oh, dad's tired. We can do this tonight. So little Johnny's over here doing whatever it is. It honks your horn, honk, you know, and you say, hey, stop that. And he's like, I have four more times for this to get serious. So he keeps going. And each time he's, hey, I told you to stop that. And each time you get a little louder. Like, man, we're getting close, but I got one more. And he does it one more time, and then you get up. Well, this is already out of control now. So then he sits down, and he's like, I'm just a little angel. So since you're tired, you sit back down. You just messed up again. When you told him no, and he does it the next time, don't say anything. Just get up out of your chair. Walk out. Hold your hand out. I'll show you something. No. The first 30 seconds will be shocked. I had four more times. But you're in control. You weren't angry. You wait till the fifth time. You're coming mad now. Now you're disciplined out of anger. See, we got to be consistent. So I say this, moms and dads, you stay consistent, it'll pay off when they get older. And you can enjoy your children then. Amen. Just trying to help our homes here a little bit. Being consistent, that's a challenge. Yeah, amen. So dads need to take this very serious, this responsibility here, and we need to teach our children how to love God. In English, how to obey Him. Same thing. So back to chapter 6. I hope you hold your mark in 11 because we're going right back. If not, it's not too far away, like five chapters. You can find it again. All right, chapter 6, verse 7. Here's what God tells moms and dads. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. It takes diligence. And shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house. This isn't a one-time deal. This is a life. And when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. This is a full-time job, folks. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, that shall be a frontlet between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. Do you have scripture plaques around the house? That's a good thing. Amen. You know, in our home, we don't have to take down the Ten Commandments. we do homeschool. We don't do private school or public school. We want them to realize God said, thou shalt not. Amen. What are we doing? We're teaching them to love him. You can't ever hurt a child by teaching them to love God.
Amen.
Amen. Back to chapter 11, verse 18 this time. Chapter 11, verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these words, or these my words, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them your children, speaking to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Verse 20. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and upon thy gates. Everyone, look at verse 21. Look at this. This is powerful. I seen this. That, oh, my soul, check this out. Verse 21. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children. Did you just see what the Word of God said? Your obedience to this actually lengthens your children's lives. The length of your children's lives depend upon your obedience, right? I didn't make it up. Let's read it again. You look at me funny. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children. What did it say? It says, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, look at this last phrase, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Wow, God states this in chapter 6. And he repeats himself in chapter 7, not to take up space, not because he says this is stuttered, but because he's emphasizing this. It's how important it is to him that we teach our children and our grandchildren to love him. It lengthens their days, and it causes in our home that our home will be as the days of heaven upon the earth. Folks, is your home tonight a touch of heaven? See, a week, you've heard me mention this throughout the whole week. I wasn't making it up. I got it right out of here. Is it like the days of heaven upon the earth? It's not trying some kind of cute little saying. Folks, when you let your children run the home, it's going to be chaos. I know some homes, the children decide what TVs and movies they watch. They pick what music they want to listen to, how they dress, where they go, who their friends are, etc. That's not the case in our home. We set those standards by the Word of God. Amen. That didn't warp them any. You see them. You've known all of them. Chris, she got married here a few months ago. Folks, it was a good thing for them. Amen. Wow, it sounds to me like if we say that we love God, then mom and dad are to order their home after what God says about it. When's the last time you had family devotions? I admit, family devotions is probably the hardest thing to be consistent with that I struggle with. Now, we have prayer every night, but actually sit down and have devotions, that's a challenge. How many think it's a challenge? Three of you. Okay, good. Hey, it says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Folks, this includes one's entertainment. The movies you do include in your house, whether it's streamed or YouTubed or a VCR or a DVR or a DVD or an MP4. I mean, ever how you do screen time. What kind of music is in your home? Where do you go? Where is off limits? What do we do Who do we hang out with? These are all important. It's all, it's every area of life. We are to reflect the holiness of the Lord. Yeah, amen. You know, if you're lost tonight in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent." Folks, for your home to have a solid foundation like this, mom and dad have to be saved. And then it should be your first priority to see Junior saved or your daughter saved. Yeah, amen. If you're not saved tonight, I encourage you to get saved. Repent of your sin, call on Christ in faith, and be born again. But it all starts with the dad and the mom setting the example. Wouldn't it be exciting tonight if the moms and dads were to repent and change their direction back to following God and surrender their lives and their homes back to the Lord right here, right now? That may mean when you get home, you might need to throw some things away. I remember back in the 80s. Anybody remember that far back? Maybe early 90s, before we went completely crazy with all this digital age. We'd have a revival. Preacher preached like this along the way. And then about Friday night, we'd have everybody bring in a green trash bag so we can't see each other's junk. And we'd have a house cleansing, and we'd burn that stuff. One time we used a grill. That thing was solid plastic time it got done, and boy, did that thing stink. It had a stink to it. And you'd hear it getting hot and kind of whistle and moan and groan. Wonder if it was demons in it, I don't know. But I'm just saying, I don't know if it was or not, okay? But families gained some ground during revival because they got some junk out of their house that God wasn't pleased with. So today it might be different. It might be delete. Not near as fun as going. Come on, I know you military guys. Put some M4 under it and stand back a little ways and say, boom, baby. Yeah. Okay, we're cleansed. I don't know, I guess you could do that with your laptop or your phone. Delete it. Get some passwords on there to protect your children from going back. I have passwords on mine. My wife knows it because I want the accountability. Amen? And anytime she can check my history, because when you have all those things locked down, you can't erase anything. And for those that think you're smart enough to erase it, it's not gone. And some of you IT guys in here, I mean, you know this kind of stuff. Brother Sam, is it ever gone? It's never gone. People like him, you give him a few minutes, he can get it back. I have a friend, Brother Potter. He's another pastor. He's an IT guy. He can do that. It's amazing what he does with computers. It's scary what he does with computers. It's just, how do you know that? It's never gone. Yeah. I'm glad when Jesus forgives my sins. They're gone. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not just under the blood. They're gone. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no taking away. But with that, he says he casts it behind his back. Ever how he does that. As far as the east is from the west, okay, that's never going to touch. That's our Savior. Yeah. Woo! Praise the Lord for the forgiveness. And maybe tonight, boy, some moms and dads get serious about this thing and say, okay, we're going to have a meeting at the altar, and we're going to meet with Christ, and we're going to ask him to forgive us because we kind of changed the direction of it, got a little deceived, caught up in this, but we're coming back. He's going to be the head of our home, and he's going to direct us, and this, and this, doesn't, and that down there, doesn't, and boy, that thing over there needs to go, and we're going to get it out of our home, and we're going to let the Holy Spirit feel right at home, as it were, the days of heaven right on earth. Watch how God will bless you. And pray for protection, because you're going to make the devil mad. He's going to try to attack you. But I have good news. Jesus already whooped him. Amen. In other words, we're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Because at Calvary, he kicked him and he's down for the count. Amen. See, this wasn't some kind of struggle where they went back and forth and busting tables and glass and stuff and was carrying on. It's like he got up and it was over. Woo! Glory! glory, that's my Savior. Amen. Our God's big. Why, y'all don't ever get excited about your Savior? Come on now. See this revival starting in our homes. I trust it to be so. Daddies, it's your responsibility to bring them to church, not send them to church. You know, I love God. But to be honest, there's room in my life for my love to grow. And I'm challenging church. If we did that tonight, I believe that would be the beginning of revival right here at Calvary Baptist Church. Not that it's a bad church. Not that anybody's involved in some kind of gross sin. I don't believe it for a second. Honest, I really don't. But it sure would be nice to have those revival fires burn through here, wouldn't it? And have that sweetness back with the Lord. That love, the affection, the emotion that goes with it. Our homes are stronger because we said, okay, Jesus is the head of this home. Remember how Joshua said, he said, as for me and my house, say it with me, ready? We will serve the Lord. Man, he had it, didn't he? Amen. All right, well, I just skipped like six pages right there. You're welcome. How much do you really love God? Is there room to grow? Actually, this boils down to two things, and I'll stop right there. Here's what this looks like in 2020, okay? Real easy, just two things. Just here, 2020, here it is. Are there some things in your life, your home, your family, that God doesn't like and he wants you to stop? If the answer is yes, then stop. The second one is, are there some things in your life, your home, your family, that God wants you to start doing? If the answer is yes, then get on it. It's really just that simple. Of our love for the Lord, down to those two areas of obedience, right there. All right, let's all stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.